Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Got to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. Glad you could join us for the next hour to talk Giants football. Our phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or you can hit us up on Twitter if you don't want to make that phone call at hashtag Giants Chat. So now the Giants are only a couple of days away. This is Thursday as they prepare for Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys, 4:25 start. Here at MetLife Stadium, we have already heard from Coach Tom Coughlin this morning, who told us that Odell Beckham will again not practice. And Howard, it appears as though, at least for the time being, and maybe even for the foreseeable future, Coach says he may be on a play but not practice schedule as they deal with that hamstring. Coach doesn't necessarily like it that way, but he says Odell's given him everything he's got on Sunday, and then they have to manage that hamstring.
I think that sometimes in practice, if a guy's banged up or hurt, if you use him up in practice, you can't use him in the game. I think that's what Coach Coughlin's going through. It has nothing to do with liking it or not liking it. It's more to do with, hey, look, I need this guy to play to give us a shot to win.
All right. I think, Dave, if we can get Howard's mic up, I think Howard's mic is down just a bit.
Am I down?
In any event, I think the other thing that the Giants are still monitoring very carefully, and Coach said today that Victor Cruz has been having a weekly MRI. And to this point, it hasn't turned up clean enough where they could clear him to practice. He was on the side yesterday with the trainers and is expected to be again today.
Well, I don't know what that means. So,
okay.
unless there are doctors out there watching the program and understand the MRI and what's going on with him. But it's like I said before, I think the calf is one of the new injuries in the NFL. I don't think they know enough about it to talk about it. And I don't know if they know how to treat it yet. I think after this year, with all the players around the league having the same injury and all of a sudden missing games, and guys who try to come back seem to get hurt worse once they come back, Sammy Watkins, and a bunch of other guys.
Sure.
Yeah, that everybody's like, what is this? So they'll know a lot more after this season.
All right, and then finally Coach said that Wade is not clear for hitting yet. He will be at practice and do some individual drills, but there won't be any contact with him. He's coming off the concussion from the game the other day. And other than that, everybody is at least limited. He did say that Ayers is looking well off of his hamstring. He's missed a month. He said Kennard is looking very well. He's missed two games because of a hamstring. And so the Giants, of course, Prince is on the side. We already know that. He's got the torn pec. He's not going to be around for about a month anyway. But the Giants look like they've got a chance to get most of their injured guys on the field Sunday.
Well, you need everybody on the field. They need, they're not a team currently constructed where they can do a lot without everybody, every hand on deck. They're shorthanded in some spots. They're playing with what they have in some spots. Your offensive line's coming around. They're playing as well as they can play. The defensive line's coming around. They're actually with Whitlock in the game. They're actually getting more pressure on the quarterback, if you can believe that or not. Everybody needs to be on the field giving their best effort when they show up. That gives the Giants the best chance to win. But that's not just the Giants. That's everyone.
Sure. I've been getting a lot of tweets about Nikita Whitlock, in particular, Howard. Fans really like his effort. They like his versatility. And, of course, he's an undersized guy, which people always love the undersized guy anyway. Wanted to give him a nickname. And so I ran a little contest on Twitter. I think we talked about it last week. So I spoke to Nikita yesterday.
Okay.
And I said, listen. This is what's been going on my Twitter page. And so I need to run a few of these by you.
Okay.
Give me a thumbs up if you can. Do you have one you like? And he said in college, a lot of people went with the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
He does do a lot of spin moves. And he's that small, compact guy that makes a lot of plays. I think that, a unique player. You wonder a lot, and I hear a lot of probably – this probably plays more to the dads out there who are watching their kids now who believe their kid's going to make it. You have to be an extraordinary talent, and Nikita Whitlock is an extraordinary talent. He was all ACC in his, in his division from Wake Forest.
Sure.
Getting after passers, hitting quarterbacks, making tackles. He comes to the NFL, and he's no longer a defensive lineman. Now he's a fullback. But, you used to sack the quarterback. Why don't you try it? And all of a sudden they're like, wow, this guy got some moves. So you never know what you're going to get. I think back to the guys like Harry Carson, who was a D tackle or D lineman in college. When he gets to the NFL, he's a middle linebacker, a Hall of Fame middle linebacker. But he didn't start out in one spot. He kind of grew or morphed into something else. And I'd hate to think of Harry in college playing D-line with that kind of speed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He did say, however, that he was willing to give up the Tasmanian Devil nickname because it was a college nickname.
Okay.
And he now approves. All right, folks, here we go.
Oh, no.
He approves of the Transformer.
The Transformer. Is he an Autobot or a Decepticon? What is he?
I can't go there because I don't watch Transformers. But Nikita Whitlock tells me that as far as he's concerned, he's approving of any Giants fan that wants to call him the Transformer. He's fine with that.
Well, Nikita, I will be calling you the Transformer from the sideline. Look, when you come in, transforms into the tackle.
All right, Howard, let's get to our first phone call of the day. It's Chris from Syracuse. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Very good.
First time caller, long time listener. Actually, I started listening last year after the Philly game for therapy. But it's been good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to call something about Abdul said yesterday about Jerry Reese kind of calling out the team. And I don't really see it that way, man. I think that Jerry's actually done a pretty good job. I mean, who could have predicted what happened with JPP and Victor Cruz having his injuries and a couple things, you know, Randall banged up and everything like that. So I think we just need to take a deep breath, and I think that they're doing a nice job. Things just aren't going our way. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, Chris, thanks for the call. I'll let Howard respond, and before I do, I want to just mention, as Howard said to me before we started the show, the Giants are 3-3 and tied for first place.
Yeah, they're right in the thick of things. The NFC East is probably the NFC least right now. Everybody's playing about as average as you can play. Romo's out. Dez Bryant won't be back for a while in Washington. We won't say anything about him because you can't say something nice. And the Eagles, you have no idea who they're going to be, when they're going to show up. I mean, Sam Bradford, as I heard, you know, pundits calling him Sam Bradford, I have no idea what's going on with the division. Here you are, the Giants, who are, you know, they're banged up, they're shorthanded, they got all this stuff, and they're still tied for first place. They just got to get – they got to have as many healthy guys as possible every week. That's their key. You know, you can't make any silly mistakes. You can't do anything overly, you know, anything that will shoot yourself in the foot kind of thing. But they have an opportunity to do something special in the division.
You know, Howard, the way I see it, at 3-3, they're at the 500 mark, they're at sea level. It's really a 10-game season.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Well, yeah, it is, but, you know – if, you know, let's do some ifs. If they beat Washington and Dallas, and then at the end of the year they beat the Eagles, and nothing really happens for the rest of the year, they pretty much are in the playoffs.
Probably.
Yeah, right? That pretty much puts them in the playoffs. You don't know what's going to happen with the other teams that they're playing, but that puts them in the playoffs. So they have their eye set on the target. I mean, they missed a golden opportunity this past week, but their eye is definitely on the go.
They got to start on Sunday. Abdul in Minneapolis, you're next on the show. Hello.
That's nice timing, right?
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, quickly, yesterday I didn't really trash Jerry Reese. I don't think I did. All I said is that our level of talent and who we have on this team, no matter what, at best will be a 9-7 team. And I think I said that's what we have been for the past 5 or 6 years. And I'm not sure what the common theme is, why we don't get, you know, get above the hump to become a better team. We just have been stuck in this rut being a 9-7 team, and I don't see it being any different this year. I think I said even if we get all our healthy players back, I still don't see us having the talent or the depth being more than a 9-7 team. That's all I said. I didn't call for Jerry Reese's job. I didn't say he's doing a bad job. I just said that's who we are.
Well, all right.
You did. Okay, but, you know, historically, and it's not knocking or praising or anything, historically what's gone on with the team, and it's been for a long, long time, they've been a 9-7 group almost as long as Coach Coughlin's been here, and it's been over 10 years.
Right.
And in that time period, they've won a couple Super Bowls. The objective is to get your team into the playoffs.
Right.
And whatever it takes to get your team in the playoffs, you could have 11 wins and for some unbeknownst reason not make the playoffs. Has happened before in the league. But you don't want to, like, win 10 games, get into the playoffs, and get eliminated in the first round. You want to have the wins, the healthy guys, and you know, be coming into your own right when the playoffs start to happen. That's kind of what you're looking for. You don't really care if it's 8-8, if it's 7, and whatever the Carolina Panthers were last year, whatever Seattle was a few years ago when they beat New Orleans. You just want to get yourself into the playoffs, be as healthy as possible, if lucky enough, maybe even get a home game. And then
totally
anything
agree.
Could happen.
I totally agree. You know, the playoffs are a different beast. You know, once you get in there, you get hot.
Yep.
And we've seen it happen twice.
Yep. And it's only one game at a time.
Abdul, the bottom line is this, and Howard's absolutely right, because if the Giants are playing in Week 18, okay, and I'm joking when I say that, but that means the first round of the playoffs, everybody will be souped up thinking about what can the Giants do to win this playoff game, and nobody will think about the games that they lost the first 2 weeks of the season because everything is new again.
Well, you know,
I hear you.
You can be the Green Bay Packers and get to the playoffs every year and then get knocked out. You can be the Dallas Cowboys who get to the playoffs, get knocked out. You can be the Cincinnati Bengals who have a team that looks like every year they're going to the Super Bowl and they get knocked out. And the fans, those fans from those cities are what are we going to do? You know, it's just different.
Abdul, thanks for the call.
I didn't call to talk about Jerry Reese today. I had a completely different.
Oh, you had one other comment? We'll let you go real quick. Go ahead.
Okay, I guess, what can the Giants do to protect Newsom from Hardy? Because I see that as being a beyond a mismatch.
Well,
and it's really concerning because I think Eli could possibly get hurt. Or the game, we won't be able to run our offense. Eli will have, you know, even they'll sit on their receivers, and then it'll, you know, Newsom won't be able to stop Hardy.
Well,
so what can we do?
I think.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I think number one is the quicker you get the ball out, the better off you're going to be. They'll try to press the receivers on the outside. That just leads to an opportunity to throw the ball over the top one time, and that doesn't mean that you have to hold it. It just means like two steps, pump, and let it go. Hardy's great, but he's not that fast. I think the biggest thing you do with Hardy is that you designate a chip guy. He'll get tired of guys hitting him in the ribs. He may get there one or two times, but the important thing is to make sure that you are hitting him and pounding him throughout the game. I know that's counterintuitive to what the league is saying about safety and making sure we're all kumbaya and we're going to play this game together. But no, you got to – for a guy who's playing at that level, you got to bang on him a little bit, and you got to slow him down as much as you possibly can. That's running backs chipping him. That's tight ends chipping him. If you got a free moment, don't let him get away from you. Just get another shot. I used to coach CYO basketball. My son would play against a really, really big kid, and the kid would be dominating the game, and he'd look over at me, and then he goes like, "What am I supposed to do?" I said, "When they throw the ball in, You put your hands on him and you touch him from one end of the court to the other end of the court the entire time. When the game's over, he will be so tired of playing against you. He'll be dragging his tongue up and down the floor. And that's kind of what they need to do to Hardy. They need to have somebody just the entire – when he's on the field, like, okay, he's back. Okay, we got him. You got him, Paul? Ready? We got him. That's the whole game. And it frustrates players when that's happening. It takes them out of their rhythm. He's a tough guy. He's a hard-nosed guy. He makes a lot of plays. But if you stay – the moment he comes on, it's not even – the ball's running over here. That's great. We're going after Hardy. And you just got to do that the entire time.
In football terms, they call that getting a hat on a hat.
In football terms, they call it marking your man.
Dean from Connecticut, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Zatino, Mr. Cross. How
Hello.
You doing?
Very good, very good.
I'll tell you how we can stop Hardy. Why don't you talk to the Giants brass, Mr. Cross, get a jersey on a one-day contract, and ship the hell out of Mall Game, buddy. I think we got that.
No. I like my golf game too much.
I think you'll do a lot better than what we got in there right now.
I like my golf game way too much to be chipping somebody.
I hear you. Listen, I'll be quick. I know there's a lot of callers. I just have a few things to touch on. As far as the Didi with the 21-day rule from coming off,
right?
Up, can you explain that to me?
Yesterday he went out to practice and participated. Now, since he was on PUP before the start of everything that happened here in the season, he has a 21-day exemption from being counted on the 53-man roster from the time he steps onto the practice field. So that clock started yesterday. Tom Coughlin said he's going to need at least a week or two of practice. They don't know exactly how much, but he hasn't had any contact. Okay, since March.
Yeah, but that's really cute. But with the new CBA, he's not going to have contact anyway.
Howard's making a good point.
I'm not trying to be funny.
So much money, I mean.
Okay,
but
here's the thing. Here's the thing. He has done very, very well with his rehab. His pec is fine. His bicep, everything seems to be fine. They're very, very happy with his progress, and now they're just getting him out onto the practice field. He's going to have to take a number of reps before coach is satisfied that he's going to put him in a live game. It's that simple.
And on top of that, you have to think about this. And I know this is kind of hard for fans when they're looking at a guy and like, how can you get him back on the field? They put that in place to protect players from players because, you know, we would go back on the field any moment we got a chance at detriment to our own physical beings just because that's what you want to do. That's kind of what you're programmed to do is to play. So to prevent guys from hurting themselves, they say, okay, you're off the list. Now you need 21 days to recondition yourself to get back into the game. And I don't mean like conditioning like running, but condition yourself to speed of game, see what's happening,
sure.
Trying to – get yourself back into the mode of
running
things.
Snaps.
Yeah, and he, I don't know, you know, again, without the new, I guess the newer players will adjust to new things, but the way the league is set up, you only have 14 live or 14 full pad practices. They can't put two of them in 1 week to try to get him, so he'll get maybe one or two in the 2 weeks or the 3 weeks that he has. So, again, it's a new age, a new era, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
They'll try to get him back out on the field as safely as possible, as soon as possible, though.
Our offensive line did great these past couple weeks, but they went from great to completely subpar in one game. And what I wanted to know is if, when, cross my fingers, BD does come back and is able to physically hold down a spot on that line, would it make problems moving Flowers to right and helping out Schwartz, because Marshall Newhouse is not getting it done.
Dean,
and Eli has no time, sir.
Dean, I'm going to answer this, and I know Howard's going to agree. My understanding is the Giants would rather keep Flowers at left tackle. That's my understanding.
But we have no right tackle.
Nobody
who has guts, who's a bulldozer.
All right.
We need to open up holes.
Bear with me. I get what you're saying, but the rule of thumb is to get your five best offensive linemen on the field, okay? And then you worry about where you're going to plug them in. Now, Flowers and Pugh, they like as that left guard, left tackle combo, and, of course, Richburg is the center, so they don't want to mess with those three guys. So somebody on that right side, there's two guys over there, somebody on that right side is going to get shuffled.
Maybe.
Likely.
Well, I can't see Schwartz playing tackle because hold down playing guard at this point.
I know, but think about this. Here are things that the fans don't think about. Left tackles make a premium in the NFL. Right tackles don't.
He's getting paid.
Yeah,
but
right tackles don't. And there's probably some clause in your contract. If you're not playing left tackle, then, you know, you don't get paid the same amount of money.
Well,
so,
I understand.
Yeah,
that.
So, like, he more than you wants to go to left tackle to ensure that he's going to continue to get – and, again, this is me speculating. I don't know if that's how it's written or anything. But he wants to be in the premium spot because that's where the premium pay is. Flowers is doing a really, really good job right now at that spot. Put stuff on film so people can see him, and every week they're going to get better. What you're hoping for in this particular game – let's say if Beattie came back in this game,
he won't be back for Dallas.
I know, but let's say he did come.
I don't think for at least 2 weeks.
I know, but if he did come back in this game, he would not have an opportunity to play left tackle because you would not upset the three guys that you got playing well right now. If you put him on the right side at right tackle, then he has to learn or get his footwork back to be a right tackle. So I don't know
but
what
he
his
– he has no oomph. He has no strength. Beattie's too calm and collected to be a right tackle.
Dean,
you need somebody that's going to move the pile.
Dean, it goes back to what I told you, and I'm going to let you go because I got to get to other callers here, but it goes back to what I said. You got to get your five best offensive linemen on the field. Beattie's going to be one of the five when he's active, Howard.
I hope so. Okay. I'm with you.
Okay. All right, very good. Hey, remember, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Quickly, let's go to Twitter because I know you got a bunch of folks out there who like to get on the computer instead of hitting us up on the telephone. And we have here... there was a chance we could have had 8 wins with 5 games left. 1 game doesn't change the whole season. I'm not sure I totally understand that comment by Drew Trock. Let's see here. Yeah, we got a couple of comments here that don't make a lot of sense to me at the moment. Oh, here's one. Mike Marchionetti wants to know, at what point do we just shut down Cruz for the year and open up a roster spot?
Ooh, no, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't know what the prognosis is. Again, I said probably the opening of the show, I was basically talking about around the league, the calf injury is a new big injury around the league, and they're trying to figure it out. The Giants are, and a few other teams around the league are trying to figure out what these calf injuries does. Like I used to reference Sammy Watkins had a little calf injury himself, and they try to bring him back to see what could happen. Now he's out. So
right.
I don't know what you do with it. I don't know if you pull a guy off the field, shut him down, or if he's going to be better at play. We had a player who came right off the calf injury, the safety, and now he tore it, right? So
Matt Burhey.
Yeah, he tore it. So, again, no idea.
Blood clot in an operation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any idea what happens with that. I don't know what the, quote-unquote, the MRIs don't look clean. I don't know what that means. So there's a lot going on with that.
A.J. Marshall says, I hope Jeremy Davis gets more playing time. Says the four best wide receivers on this team are Beckham, Randall, Harris, and Davis. Davis is a rookie, and, you know, he's trying to work himself in as best as possible. We liked what we saw in the preseason, but, Howard, that's still the preseason.
I like Davis, too. I think that he has an opportunity, but, you know, you got to get the guys on the field that are absorbing. And we're not in practice every day. We're not in the meetings every day. We're not a part of anything. We're just looking at it a lot like fans are looking at it. We sit at practice and we see some things, but we don't know exactly what's being absorbed, what's not being absorbed, and what's going on. So if he's playing more, that means he's absorbing more and he's making he looks like he can make plays. If he's not playing as much, that means that it's not that somebody's playing better than him, so to speak, but they got to be able to trust him to put him on the field. And that's everybody trusting him, the quarterback, the coach, the receivers coach, everybody needs to be able to trust the player put him on the field. Not that he's not trustworthy, just I don't know what stage he is at right now.
All right, we have a tweet here that actually didn't go to Giants chat. You could always go to Giants chat, but this guy actually tweets me at Giants WFAN and you at Howard Cross 87. And he wants to know, what steps can the Giants take to improve the running game? He wants to know what's going on with Andre Williams. Says the Eagles keyed on him. Let me take part B to this, Howard, before I let you go to part A. Tom Coughlin addressed Andre Williams earlier this morning because the writers seem to be wanting to do a feature on him. They're worried about the fact that his production hasn't been what a lot of people thought it would be. And what Coach said was he seems to be a guy who's not very comfortable with the rotation. He's not getting enough carries, and I think we agree he's one of those rhythm guys. He's one of those guys who, if he's got 18 carries into the fourth quarter, that's where he's going to be most effective. He gets two or three spot carries here and there. That's not where he makes his money. At least that's not what it was at Boston College. You know, he was getting the ball 30 times a game at Boston College.
I new era, new players, got to figure it out. You know, you got to figure it out. You got to be watching the game from the sideline, watching the game from the training tapes and all the film study for you to understand and try to get the ideal of where you're going to be and where the holes are going to be. You should be watching the game and looking up and say, okay, well then, Pugh's killing this guy. So I know when I go to the left, I can kind of follow Pugh a little bit. I know that he's going to be able to move the guy left and right. And all of a sudden, well, Pugh's killing him to the left. But if he moves to the right or head up, Pugh's not getting him. So I know that's going on. But you got to watch the game constantly to be a part of so many different elements to see that. The reason why coaches and players say, quote, unquote, that a guy like Williams has that moment or he needs more carries because when he gets in the game, he's watching those blocks develop. He starts to understand who's beating who and why. But you have to be able to do it even from the sideline to understand what's going on.
All right, let's go back to the calls. James from Philadelphia, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hi.
How you doing?
We're okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I wanted to talk a little about the defense and the pass rush and that. It seems to me that when Whitlock come in and have his success rushing the passer, it's because he actually have a pass rush move. It don't seem like none of the linemen have a move, you know, like a bull. Most of them doing a bull rush, but like a spin move or, you know, or something. Like they're just trying to bull rush these big 325-pound linemen and it's not getting around them. And that was one thing. It's like, it's no, and even Cullen Jenkins said it a little bit in one of the interviews he had that I was watching on there, that, you know, you got to get a pass rush move. And not only that, you see that we're not really having success getting to the quarterback with four. Now, Spags from before, he had all these, you know, intricate defenses where he sent the blitzes from here, there, and everywhere. It's been 6 weeks now, 6 weeks, that the defense should know. Like before, you know, you can't put all the stuff in because maybe they didn't know the defense well. But it's been 6 weeks now, and Philadelphia would have been the prime team to do it on because they really don't have that breakout receiver where they can scare you. And it just seemed like from the talk when it first started that it's going to be an aggressive defense. They can predict what's going on, not sit back and read. And it seemed like they're going right back to the same thing. You know, what are your feelings on that?
I think that you know, when you think about the defense and them not getting there, that's Nikita Whitlock is a special, different kind of player. The other thing that he has that the other players don't have, he is great leverage because he's a lot smaller in stature than the other guys. And that's something
right.
You can't teach that. That's just he's just shorter than
and
the other
quicker.
Guy. Yeah, he's shorter, and that's his niche or his blessing or his curse. You know, if he was taller. If he was like 3 or 4 inches taller, then maybe he'd have been a higher draft pick. But by him not being drafted, that's his niche in life. That's where he is. So when guys are watching him, they're like, man, this guy's making all these great moves. Linemen are reaching for him because they're so tall. That hurts them to try to get down to get to him, and he's making plays. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't want to, like, you know, throw water on Coach Spags or anything, but think about this. If we send blitzes, are we sure that they're going to cover? Are we sure on the back end that we're going to be able to make the tackle? Because they don't get there. If anything happens, that's a 30 or 40-yard completion for a touchdown. It's not even a quick catch. If they don't get there, there's no need to throw the ball on a hot route. If you don't get there, hold on to it, and somebody's going to be open. So right now you're battling that.
That's my point. It's like I think that our D-backs are good enough to cover the receivers that the Eagles had. Now, I'm not saying go you did that to do that with like a Julio Jones or one of those guys. No,
okay.
I know you really can't play them one on one. But when you got the Eagles receivers to me are average.
Yeah,
now,
but
D-backs seem like they pretty good. So, but and everyone was there. The people that's back there was there to get to know the system. So if you run it, you should be in the area you're supposed to be in.
I know, but think of this. Think of this. I don't mean to cut you off, but think of this. In the games before, they had 3 passes over 30 yards. In that particular game, they had 3 passes over 30 yards. So they had all the long passes and one for a touchdown that they'd had all season in one game. They had they doubled their efforts in that one game. So regardless if they're bad receivers, regardless if they're average receivers, regardless if they're pedestrian or whatever you want to call them, they had time to get deep and catch the ball. So if you send a blitz, you take one more guy out of coverage, and that just gives them more time to find someone open. It's not as simple as, you know, it's got to be so coordinated. When you send somebody, that guy has to get there. It can't be an almost, can't be a timing, can't be he's looking to. He has to get there, and that's the difference.
James, we're going to have to let you go, but I would just add this to what Howard said, and thanks so much for the phone call. When Bradford's the quarterback, he has a strong enough arm to get it downfield. If Sanchez was the quarterback, now you have a different argument because you know he can't throw the ball 50 yards.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bradford got the ball downfield. I think that, you know, if you have enough time, when a guy runs an out, it's 8 yards and out, and it's 4 seconds, like you run the out in 2 seconds or 2.5 seconds or whatever it is, you're over in the out spot, the quarterback's still standing holding the ball. You don't stand there like, okay, well, I wonder what he's going to do now. You go to scramble rules. You go deep or you come back to the ball, and all of a sudden routes that are normal routes that are built on time and don't exist.
Right.
Once they're outside of time, and anything goes. So that's the problem. And the rules – the officials don't respect the rules, and the rules don't respect the game for some reason. If the quarterback rolls out of the pocket, you could bump the defender.
Mm-hmm.
But if the quarterback rolls out of the pocket now, you bump the defender, they throw flags from places you don't even see coming. The guy's got like an octopus arm thing going on. He's throwing flags.
The pretzel vendor's throwing flags.
It's crazy. Like, you know, it's like hot dog and the flags are coming out of the stands. It's crazy. So you have to, like, understand, again, I don't know what the rules of the competition committee is doing, but once you leave the pocket, it's a live game. Quarterback's live. Receivers alive, you can bump them a little bit. You can get back in contact with them. But the moment that someone touches them, hey, look, man, you can't touch that dude. I don't care what that quarterback is. He didn't even catch the ball. I'm like, it's crazy. So you have to be aware of that.
All right, fans. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, you pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Our number on the show is 201-939-4513.
I'm gonna call it right.
Joe from Florida, you're next on the show. Unless Howard beats you into it with the ring. Go ahead, Joe. Hello.
How you doing, guys?
Hi.
Very good.
Okay, a couple of things. Bill Parcells had taught us a long time ago about offensive and defensive lines and linebackers, how important they are. When in 2011, 2007, we won with pass rush, and we won with an offensive line that gave Manning time. In 2011, when we knew the offensive line was getting old, we didn't start replenishing. 2 years ago, we started drafting for offensive line. We know Manning doesn't get time. He throws interceptions. 28, many interceptions. The Eagles exposed us last year, and we didn't fix our problem.
Well, I would
that
argue that.
That goes to Reese. Nobody else,
listen,
because
hold,
the coaches are going to take the fall
right
now.
Wait, hold on.
All right, Howard.
You're not acknowledging.
I know he's your man.
No, it has to do with Reese. I have nothing to do with Reese. I want you. Wait a minute. Stop. Just listen. Just listen. I don't care about Jerry Reese. Is Philadelphia's defensive line any good? I'm going to ask you.
Is Philadelphia's cornerbacks any good?
I ain't ask you about his cornerbacks. I ask you a question. Is Philadelphia's defensive line any good?
They were exceptionally good.
All season long. Not against the Giants.
They're good.
All season long. What you're doing is you're taking your emotions and your feelings for the Giants, because I know you love the team, because I like when you guys call in, and I appreciate it. But you can't – it's like when D'Amico Ryans makes a play on Larry Donnell. Larry Donnell's got to hold on to the ball. He's got to be – this kid made a phenomenal play. Don't take your emotions – and thrust your emotions into the moment and not acknowledge how good the team was. Both teams played horribly. I mean, it was more penalties, more mistakes, no one was emotional on either sideline. They were just out there like, please, God, let the clock in. Let us get off the field healthy, because this is a bad night. It happens in football. But what you're saying now is that the D-line, that's a good, good D-line, that's going to get a lot of sacks all season. The Giants should have just become a better offensive line than they already are, and beat them soundly.
But they're not a great offensive line.
And how many great offensive lines are in the league right now? Because you're the one who's bringing it up. Like, you have a game plan. I want to hear your game plan.
Well, yeah,
how many great
good
ones?
Good strong offensive line.
How
good
many
strong defensive line?
Yeah, but how many are in the league?
When we won on the last four Super Bowls that we won,
he's going
did we
back
have good,
4 years.
Strong offensive and defensive.
I'm going to ask you again,
Let
sir.
Let me ask you a question. You're asking me questions. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
On did we have good offensive and defensive lines on every Super Bowl we won?
How many years did you suffer through to get them?
Oh, my God. I can't tell you. I've been watching since the 60s.
There you go.
See, the way the league works is that you have to be bad for a little bit to stack up some players, and hopefully those players stay healthy long enough for you to achieve a moment. You had two Super Bowls with – was it one or two with Soibert? One.
Richie had one.
Richie Soibert was a what we call a practice squad, walk-on player, free agent, no one thought could play, and all of a sudden he shows up and we win a Super Bowl. you get those opportunities. You draft a lot of guys, and you hope that those guys are going to be great, but you're going on pedigrees from colleges, what they look like. Every scout in the country is looking at them, and you're trying to figure it out. Like Flowers, people were saying after the draft, oh, the Giants reached for him. Man, that guy's not that good. You got a big, mean, tough guy pulling guys together on the sideline, wanting to fight every play. I'm like, I'll pay for that guy. But you don't know what you're going to get year in and year out. And right now, they're coming back. The ideal is, because it's hard to assemble a great line, they get one draft pick a year, one first-round pick, one third-round pick. There are not a lot of guys in the second, third, and fourth round at linemen that are making it, unfortunately. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the spread offenses in college football. But you have to look at what you got. You don't have a great line every year. I think the Giants, with the line that they have now, offensive and defensive, even though they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, with this division could get into the playoffs. My question is, I don't want them to get into the playoffs and not have a chance. So they got to keep building on it week in and week out. Philadelphia is a good defensive line. Unfortunately, now Dallas, with this guy Hardy, who shouldn't be in the league, is a good defensive line.
Joe, thanks for the call. We got to go. I got to go. I got to get to Joseph. Joseph in Virginia, you're next on the show. Hello.
How's it going today, guys?
Hi, good. Joseph.
Man, this is one pet peeve I have, man.
All right.
It's just the fans that bash Jerry Reese, man.
It's fine, but it doesn't. It's more about them. See, I understand fandom because I love Alabama. So, like, I watch the games.
And that's true.
And I'm watching the game. I'm taking scholarships. I'm doing everything, every game. And I'm like, I'm emotional about it. And I'm like, okay, I got to stop looking at it that way. But I understand, because most guys who talk say they're not fans of anything. I'm not like that. And if I watch my son play, I have to sit there with my hands like this and press and squeeze and hope I don't scream or something. It's just you're a fan of certain things. And I understand the fans of the Giants. You guys are passionate.
Of course, yeah. But just like, the man brought us 2 Super Bowls. You can't throw him under the bus like that.
Yes, you can. Because in this world of Twitter, who when everybody's a reporter instantly, in this world of Facebook and everything else.
All the social media, yeah.
Got to have it right now, baby. What have you done for me lately? And lately is not yesterday, not last year, not last month. It was, what did you do for me yesterday?
Yeah, but I personally think, like, he hit on the nose the past 2 drafts. I don't know how you all feel about it.
The last 2 drafts, he's done pretty well. The last couple drafts, he's come around. But, again, in the last 2 drafts, unfortunately, the Giants have been lower or higher, I guess, whatever you want, how you want to explain it, in the draft selection. The higher you go in the draft selection, the better opportunity of a player being a can't-miss, so to speak, player. I think he hit off pretty big with Peel. I think Pugh was somebody, like, when they drafted him, and even in my mind, I thought, like, man, okay, kid from Syracuse, that should be interesting to see how. And he turned out to be a phenomenal player. I think Odell Beckham turned out to be a great player, much better than people realized, but it was a great year for the receiver. Flowers has become a great player. And there are other guys, you know, Kennard, if he can figure out how to stay healthy, great, great player on the field. And,
yeah.
You know, Jenkins Hankins, I should say. Other guys are coming along and making plays, and they're showing up week in and week out.
And I hope that Landon Collins is good for a long time.
Yeah, well, Landon Collins, I don't say anything about Landon Collins. I'm trying not to be a homer. See, I'm trying not to be a homer. But Landon Collins as well.
Joseph, we got to run. I want to get some more callers in. Jeff from Rhode Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paulie and Howard, how are you guys
doing?
Very good, very good.
Okay, that's a good thing. I'm glad to hear that. But you've already kind of mentioned a couple of things I wanted to hop on, and my 2 biggest pet peeves are pressure on the opposing quarterback. That's consistent pressure, and being able to run the ball on the ground successfully when you need to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about, 3 yards a carry, okay, because that's not getting it done. I think Andre Williams has had his chance. I've been posting online on different places for the past couple of weeks. I like to see Dockwood get some carries in there. To me, from what I saw in the preseason games, he hits the hole quicker than anybody else, I think. And I like the way the kid runs. He runs with some real authority, you know. I mean, he puts his pads down and he goes. So I'd like to see him get some touches. And And the pass rush, I don't know what we can do. Look, you can only play the guys that you have, okay? Yep. I mean, that's what we have, and that's what we're going to have. So that's the way it is. But it's so frustrating to me that, you know, we're 6 weeks into the season. I mean, the season's close to being halfway over, and we still can't run the damn ball. I'm not getting that. Help me out with that, Howard. Explain it to me, okay? Well, I'm going to hang up and listen offline. Well, have a good day, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, what I'm watching with the running of the ball is that most of the running backs, these guys in particular, they are a fullback lead kind of guy. They need that guy kind of leading them through the hole and getting there. Right now, the left side of the line is, you know, no offense to the guys on the right, but the left side of the line is a little stronger in the run. Most teams are right-handed teams, so they're converting themselves to be a little bit more left-handed. Even the backs are naturally right-handed, looking at the holes in the right, and they're converting them to be more left-handed. That's part of some of the issues that go on internally with teams. As far as Andre Williams, I hear that a lot. You got to remember the initial drive of the Giants were in 12 personnel. The Giants don't huddle almost. They're almost fully no huddle now. That's not no huddle like 2 minutes, but no huddle where you just never come into the huddle, giving Eli more time to make his calls, and it presses the defense not to do substitutions.
Right.
So when you're in a situation where you have two tight ends, the second tight end can be a fullback, he can be a tight end, he can be a wide out, he can be a lot of different things, and you stick that other team, the defense, in a position where they can't substitute, they have the wrong personnel. The moment they go to spread, they're out of position. The moment they come in tight, then they got to figure out where he is. The moment he goes into the fullback spot, that's something else. And that's when they had real success early on in the game running the ball. When Andre Williams came into the game, they weren't in 12 personnel, and they ran those same type of plays from 11 personnel. 11 personnel for everyone out there is three wideouts, one tight end, one back. The other wideout is not a lead blocker. The
right.
wideout is not coming in the backfield. Another wideout is not going to block on the edge of the line as well. So Andre Williams is in the game in a situation where he has to, you know, kind of come up with plays on his own at that point. So that's big.
Even Tom Coughlin told us this morning that you have to understand, as he was explaining to some of the writers, when we go to our three-wide package, really, we'd like to use Shane Vereen in those situations.
Yes, you would.
Because
you would most of the time.
More of a threat in his versatility.
Yeah. Well, what happens in the three-wide package, the ideal and the theory is that everybody's going to spread out.
Right.
Okay, so when 44 is in the game, they're like, okay, well, he is not known to be a receiver. So let's come down a little bit. We don't have to spread out and worry about him bouncing out of the backfield.
Sure.
So now you can key on him. And if you hand the ball to him, they're already looking at him. Because it's like, well, who's he blocking? So whoever he's blocking, the other guy can come. That's what they're trying to figure out. So, again, that's maybe a tendency that the Giants have. That they're going to have to figure out. If he's in the game, he's going to be with 12. He's going to be with, quote, unquote, the fullback and the running back. But that whole putting him in a spread moment, that's going to be a little tougher to achieve in the league.
Okay, Jason from California, you're next on the show. And by the way, before you start, Jason, what is it? We've had like five people call up today and say, my pet peeve is.
The show is
not the pet peeve of the day.
I think we should call it pet peeve. We should have like a pet peeve segment.
No, it's called Big Blue Live, not Pet Peeve Live, okay? Come on, let's go.
Well, I like to consider myself a couch potato student of the game.
Okay.
Could you tell me about timeouts? So I know it's two different sports, but you know in basketball, team goes on a run, timeout. In the first half, sometimes when it seems like it's not going too well for us and it's just play after play not going well, how come coaches don't utilize their timeouts just to regroup and get back out there? But then you go into the half with three full timeouts. To me, that's like timeouts wasted. Is there some rule about when you can call a timeout?
No.
Could they utilize that better?
I would say yes and no. I'd say yes because if you know the flow of the game and just somebody's having an issue, you call a timeout to help that guy out. But I'm going to say no because they're so valuable that in the last 2 minutes of the game, or last 2 minutes of a half, when you really need them, that's what they're saved for. Basketball, there are many timeouts. You can I forget how many you have, but you can stop the flow of the game. You got 30-second timeouts. You got official timeouts. You got quote-unquote TV timeouts. You got all these different breaks in a basketball game. In a football game, the timeout usually when a coach is calling it, he's calling it because one, they're about to make a mistake and they get maybe the wrong personnel on the field.
Right.
Or two, they're calling it because unfortunately it's not the wrong personnel, but now they have a look that they're not prepared for. And three, like in the Indianapolis Colts game, you may have the wrong guy doing something, like snapping the ball. Hey, why is he touching the ball? Like, timeout, get him out of there.
Right.
So that's really what the timeouts are for. When you see a player or a coach, whether it's Eli, any of the quarterbacks, Rodgers, anybody, Breeze, Brady, it doesn't matter. If you see them call timeout and it's not, quote-unquote, late in the game or late in the half, they're upset that they had to call timeout. They are furious that they had to call timeout because they want those timeouts for when they have the chance to score.
And
the only reason that even came in my mind is the last couple of games, it seems like, you know, after we scored and then the other team just went right down all the way from, like, the one, it seems, and then scored. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, wow, can we not just, like, call a timeout, slow this down, regroup something, you know, stop this before this happens again? So that's why that came on my mind, and I thought I would bring up the question.
No, it's okay. Fair, Jason, and thanks for the call. What it really comes down to, in short, is teams want to call timeouts for mechanical reasons, and what you're talking about is simply momentum switches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so few and far between. You don't get a whole bunch of them. You get three of them. And what Howard's saying is right. They're so valuable, you can't afford to waste one on a momentum switch when you will need it for mechanical reasons.
Goodness. You can lose one. That's the other thing that bothers me. You can lose one if you lose the challenge. They'll take your timeout, and you need those timeouts in the game.
Dennis from Miami, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Mr. DeTino, Mr. Cross, pleasure to speak with you guys.
You too, sir.
I'm slowly becoming a regular caller, but not a pet peeve caller.
I mean, I just want someone to ask us about the Cowboys. Can we talk about the game?
Oh, not yet.
I think that, you know, what we did against Philly was horrible, but they were mistakes that can be fixed. I think we have the opportunity to beat Dallas. Fans need to stay positive. This is a business. You know, Jerry Reese, leave him alone. Tom Coughlin, leave him alone. These guys are professionals. They're going to do what's the best for our team, and we have to be fans. You know, and support them. So I think good positive towards Dallas. You know, I've been bleeding Giants blood since I think I was born. My first words were go Giants.
Nice.
But I did want to ask a question with
go
conditioning.
Ahead.
You guys have touched on it before. Your professional opinions, both of you guys, P. Dot and Mr. Cross. What happened? Why don't we practice with full pads and full Howard, you, I'm sure, have been hit by Harry Carson before in a practice.
I'm not quite that old, first off.
What happened to why don't they practice where –
they're not allowed.
– on the field with the injury?
Well, it's funny, now, and I'll tell you, it's all around the league. And what happened was that they went to a collective bargaining agreement, and a collective bargaining agreement is done by – the guys who are in the union, most of the union guys are veterans. My veterans are 5, 6 years, 7 years in the league. And a lot of those guys, they don't like to practice. So what did they do? They negotiated practice down. They negotiated practice away. They thought that we'll be saving our bodies by doing this. And when they did that, D. Smith and everyone else, they had all these stats compiled. There are so many injuries in practice. There are so many injuries in the game. We need to cut practice time. Well, what happened is you also cut development time. You cut full speed time. You cut – like, it's hard to block a full-speed rusher or pick up a blitz if you've never done it full speed. Well, if we eliminate all the padded practices and the full contact practices, you will never see it until game time. So the guy that's rushing full speed on the back – if he understands what he should do, the back can never stop him. If the back understands what he should do, the guy will never get around him. But trying to figure out how to do it from we're going to put in no pads and we're gonna move our feet and put our hands on each other. We're not going to do any contact because we don't want to get hurt. That doesn't help. Also, it also has caused a lot of soft tissue injuries because, and again, I'm not a doctor. This is not scientific, but it's just a thought. Let's call a pec or a tricep injury. If Paul Dettino's running down the field and I'm used to wrapping up and playing with him, not knocking you to the ground, but just really wrapping up and going at a pretty good speed, I learned to tackle you.
My body's physically ready for that trauma of yanking.
But when you're not, I see what you're saying. You aggravate it.
I know, but when you're not, that's not what you do. When Paul makes his move, instead of me breaking down and wrapping you up, I reach for you. Because I'm not conditioned to get myself in a position to wrap you up. I'm conditioned to, okay, well, Paul's just going to run into me because Paul is just running because he knows there's no threat of being tackled or hit. So Paul's going to come more at a straight angle. In the game, that guy's trying to avoid me. So when he tries to avoid me, now I'm out of position. I open up. And when I open up, all this is exposed. And pec injuries are all over the league. Calf injuries all over the league. Groin injuries all over the league. You're doing things with your body that you're not conditioning your body to do. And forgive me for all the workout facilities all over the country, Miami, Arizona, wherever they are, with all these guys and all these great flipping tires and jumping on stuff. That's awesome. It has nothing to do with the game. And it just, it just bothers me that people haven't figured that out and they haven't gone to that. But that's me, and I'm old school.
Dennis, thank you.
Great explanation. I really appreciate it. P. Dot number 86 out on the line. What do you think?
86? You lost me. You lost me.
I just the comedy saying you're running out. I'd like to see you out on the line there. It'd be good sights.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate it. Hey, let me get to one more spot here for DraftKings. Don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Howard, interesting thought in terms of when, and I'm not even sure how long the CBA is in effect, but I'm going to be very curious when this finally does run out or when it can be reopened or whenever the negotiations will go on through the next labor agreement. I'm really interested to see how many guys will talk how you have talked and say, hey, you know what? We're not helping the game. We're really not helping the player in general understand the game, learn the game.
Players.
I mean, do you think there's any chance that that'll happen and we'll get back to a little more old school football?
I don't know. When you have guys, and no offense to Drew Brees, great player and everything, when you have a lot of older players who believe that they have it down, they have the long-term contracts, the big contracts, they've got the big signing bonus already in their pocket, so they're trying
But all this evidence is going against them now. Yeah, it's going to be harder for them.
They try to pocket the experience and take something away from the game that they thought didn't need to be there. And I'm not saying you got to go out every day and bang heads, and I'm not saying every day you got to go out and be overly aggressive, but you need full-speed moments in order to condition your body to play. And when you've taken that away from these guys or taken that away from their bodies, your body kind of assimilates to whatever's going on. They've taken it out. And once they've taken it out, the only time they actually activate it is game time. And that's why you see some of these injuries. And that's just, again, not medical, not anything. I just see that as something that's missing. And that might be the evidence that someone needs to write about. That may be the evidence that the Players Association, the Coaches Association, I'm not even talking about ownership. Those two groups might need to sit down together and discuss what they're looking at and what they need to do in order to get, healthy play, safer play for the players and go on. Not just arbitrarily saying, I think this would work, but they should sit down, the Trainers Association, the Coaching Association, and the Players Association.
Figure out a happy medium somewhere.
Not even a happy medium, but they should sit down and say, how do we fix this to keep players on the field and keep them safe so they can play? Not – I'm so worried about that. We can eliminate all that. We got all that taken care of now. Let's go get back to getting the game going.
All right, couple of quick comments I want to read before we close out the show from Twitter. Big Blue View says Cruz should be on short-term IR, should have been placed there immediately after his last setback. That's not the case right now. Giants plus four says they should blitz Kennard a little more. Well, Howard's already told you about the danger of the blitz. You can't always do that as much as you'd like. We have Vic Fontana says maybe our D-line should be Whitlock, Kennard, Beeson, and JT Thomas. Put the current D-line at linebacker and let these guys, they're small and fast, to let them rush.
That's hilarious. We did run the ball every down. Just run it up.
Let's see here. O-line was that. That's an odd handle. Says, I'm not blaming the backs when the line can't push anyone to make the holes.
That's true. But if you look at a lot of backs, it happens. Murray left Dallas where he was a downhill runner and now is being forced to, quote-unquote, figure out how to
make the first guy miss in the backfield.
Joe Banzola says, if you have time and an accurate quarterback, most pro receivers will get open in 3 to 5 seconds. Without time, Manning is bad. Well, a lot of quarterbacks need some time.
I think every quarterback in the league needs time. I don't think there's any quarterback maybe outside of a Cam Newton, that if you rush him, he might take off running or something.
Yeah.
But everybody else really needs a lot of time.
Got a few people here championing Darkwa's cause. They'd like to see him get a shot.
Can I say something about Darkwa? Phenomenal. I think good talent. Looked awesome in the preseason. Remember that he wasn't playing with the starters. There were no veteran anything kind of playing against Darkwa. So against the group that he was with, he was phenomenal. So don't elevate him yet. I mean, let him – if he was really still showing that, they'd put him in the game to do it.
I will mention a guy who you, I'm sure, are familiar with, and I used to joke, but he's a good guy, and I don't mean to disrespect him in any way, but Keith Elias was all August. He really was. All August.
I got one for you. Sean Bennett.
You know, there's another one.
You know, it's a lot about, you know, for fans and stuff. Preseason shows some things, but late in the game when you're giving a lot of guys a look, when a guy shows up and he's flaring and he looks awesome, always take into account of what talent he's playing against. If he's playing against that talent in the first preseason game, second preseason game, they move him closer to the front of the line. By the last preseason game, he's playing with some of the starters. Then you know where that guy's heading for the rest of the season. If he never quite works his way up there, it's not because the guy in front of him is so good. It's because he just hasn't eclipsed that moment yet. And there's a fair competition in training camp. There's a fair competition starting out. You earn your bones in all these practices in the spring, all these practices before training camp, all these practices for the draft. You start earning your bones then. And by the time the season starts, you're kind of slotting yourself. You can't all of a sudden say, I went through the OTAs and mini camp and all that stuff, and now I want to be a starter. Now all of that adds up. That you're building your equity in what you're trying to achieve the entire time, from the moment that the season ends to the moment that the season begins the next year.
All right, Howard, it's been fun.
There it is.
He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. Big Blue Kickoff Live is here on Giants.com Monday to Friday from 12 noon till 1 p.m. 201-939-4513. Write it down. Give us a call. I believe tomorrow it's John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegel's on the show. Enjoy, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.